It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's already Valentine's Day weekend, depending on when you listen to this, Saturday, February 13th after the 9 o'clock news, Sunday, Valentine's Day, February 14th at 7:05 after the 7 o'clock news. We also have President's Day upcoming, so January and half of February is already behind us. Big shout out to my guest last week, Krista Ketty, one of our in-house registered dental hygienists, who does a great job for me educating both our subscribers, the patients who go to the dentist, as well as the dental offices on various programs we have, such as the Health Through a Wellness program. So Krista did a great job, and her focus was getting information to parents on children's dental health, because February is, in fact, National Children's Dental Health Month. And one fact for some parents out there is that, when I was bringing up my kids, you were somewhat told to bring them by age 4, but actually it's more like age 1 or when the first tooth are up, so it can even be earlier. So that was one of the big points that Krista made, plus the focus for this year's Children's Dental Health Month is water, nature's drink, and that regular good old water is better, of course, than soft drinks. But this weekend with me is Dr. Brian Bicknell, who is still the relatively new, although he's been here a couple of years, president of the Manchester Community College System, college that is, part of the community college system. Brian, thank you for joining me this weekend. I know you're a busy guy, so I appreciate the opportunity to spend some time with you.
It's an honor to be here, and it's a privilege to be asked and to represent the college and talk about some of the things that we're doing. And for what it's worth, I've already had 3 glasses of water today, so I'm taking that advice.
I love it. I love it. And not to get too controversial, but fluoridated water has been the best thing for oral health in the United States, really, since when that first came into being. So we did talk a little bit about that. And
what year was that came into play? I mean, I vaguely remember it.
Yeah, it's way back in terms of it varies by state. I mean, of course, but in terms of when it was viewed as a public policy need, it dates back to the 40s and 50s, and basically back in 1949. We observed the Children's Dental Health Month, and around that time is when, we started to see the importance of fluoridated water. Fluoridated water definitely prevents tooth decay. It's a natural mineral that's found in groundwater. And we know statistically that it has prevents about 25% of tooth decay in children. So it is what we like to say one of the 10 great public health achievements in the 20th century. So one of the other great educational achievements in the 20th century, though, is the 21st century, is the community college system. And this really, I'm so glad you're joining me, because when I was on the State Board of Ed, which is responsible not only for K through 12, but also the advanced degrees, we spent a lot of time on the community college system and 65 by 25, which is by the year 2025, we need 65% of the adult population in New Hampshire to either have a associate's degree, 2-year degree, 40-year degree, or have one of be qualified for the many openings that exist through credentialing programs. So we always spent a lot of time on the community college system. So tell us your background. I know you succeeded Dr. Susan Hurd, and you started really in April in 2020, but you had been, prior to that, you had been at the Manchester Community College, and before that at Benjamin Franklin Institute of Technology. So tell us about your robust background, and you picked an auspicious starting date, because that's right at the beginning, at least in my March 16th, the is when the ADA, American Dental Association, said that you could only see a dentist for emergency. So from March 16th to June 1st, roughly, or May 11th in New Hampshire, a lot of people weren't able to go to the dentist. And I'm thinking, you know, as I was preparing for the show, and I'm thinking your start date was quite ill-timed, if you will, from the pandemic perspective. But I'm sure it thrust you right into a lot of great decision making and leadership, you know, under fire. So tell us about your background, which is robust. And by the way, I commend you. I mean, I'm along with Justice Broderick. One of my above the neck health things that I like to do is, you know, mental health awareness. And I know you have your master's in that from Fitchburg State. So take your time and tell us about your very varied background.
Yeah. So you know, it's interesting. So I'll start out with my first day. I accepted the position to be president of the college, and I went to campus that day. I wanted my first official day. I wanted to be on campus, and I pulled up, and I was the only one at the college because we were 100% remote at that time. So I remember looking around and thinking, wow, this is just so surreal. It's just so crazy. And, you know, it was like a Tuesday. It's a day normally when we have thousands of people on campus, and I was the only one. And then walking into the campus and the lights were out and nobody was there. And it just made me realize how important it is that what we do. And so, you know, I've kind of kept that with me ever since. And our motto has become during COVID, adapt and overcome. And so, okay, here's the situation. How are we going to handle it? And we'll overcome it. And so, you know, we've done that, and I'm really proud of that. It has been, you know, trial by fire. I mean, it's, you know, especially early on, it was, you know, all day, all night, you know, and then, you know, I'd be up all night thinking through different scenarios, especially last, you know, March, April, May, weekends. It was just all out. But I was really proud of how the faculty, staff, and students respond to it. I mean, it's just absolutely remarkable. And, you know, there was times when I would address the campus in a Zoom meeting, you know, I'd have 100 people on a Zoom meeting, and I'd go, you know, I wanted to tell them how proud I was when I'd start getting kind of choked up because of all they did to step up. So before I was president, I was vice president of academic affairs at Manchester for a few years. Susan Heward, who's now the interim chancellor, was the president, an incredible mentor, incredible guide, and really did a great job of leading Manchester Community College. So it's an honor to follow her. Big shoes to fill, but she's phenomenal and still, you know, was still my boss. I call her my past and present boss. But she was great. Before that, I was in Boston at Ben Franklin Institute of Technology. It was a college that was actually founded through money that Ben Franklin donated to the city. And the students there were students from Roxbury, Dorchester, Mattapan. Almost all of them were at full Pell, meaning they're at the poverty level and had a high graduation rate and success rate. And, you know, I was proud to work there. I have my master's degree, as you noted, in counseling from Fitchburg State. Justice Broderick, by the way, I've had him to the college twice now, once at a all college and then at a faculty development night. And he's just amazing. I mean, you know that just as well as anybody. But he was phenomenal. So got my master's degree there, got my doctorate at UMass Boston. And now I'm at Manchester Community College doing my thing.
So it must be kind of exciting to – because you are really on the catbird seat. I mean, even before COVID, obviously, the economics of education, and I think the way I like to describe, I like your expression, you know, adapt and overcome. And to some extent, COVID, well, no one is happy that COVID happened. It really expedited some of the things that, you know, were starting to happen in education anyway, which is, you know, competency-based education, online learning. Obviously, there's a it would be great, you know, we need this kind of balance. I mean, we all miss the human, you know, interaction, but, you know, a lot of people are, you know, some of the biggest competition in education is from the University of Arizona, you know, because of their right. online program. So do you agree? I mean, as you said, Susan did a great job. Do you agree that COVID kind of forced maybe the expediting some of the trends that were already starting to happen?
In a big way. I agree 100%. And when you look at online education, here COVID was a forcing function, right? We had to go online, especially last spring. We didn't have a choice. So we went online, and everybody upskilled. I mean, everybody across the board, everybody upskilled. And now when we come out of that, what's going to happen is everybody's going to have this new skill set on how to use technology in a highly effective way to deliver the curriculum. Now, when you're back in person, you have all the benefits of being in person supplemented with all the benefits that folks have learned in using new technologies. So, and then people, online classes are dramatically better now. So, so it's really a twofer there. Here's an interesting thing that we're working on classes for next fall is, so we have students who have transportation challenges. They can take a online class, and they don't have to worry about transportation. Or we could have a hybrid class, say, next fall, where you can go there if you want and be on campus and be in a classroom with a faculty, or, you know, with a bunch of our classes are going to have cameras in there, you can Zoom in from home. So you're going to have the best of both worlds. So it's really, as we come out of this, and we're going to come out of it. I mean, we're, you know, at a tough point now, but cases are going to go down. Vaccinations are going to go up. And the weather's going to get warmer. We're going to have a lot of good things are going to be happening. And we come out of it, we're going to be in a much better place.
I agree, and I love your positive energy. So, in terms of when you going back to your first day, so here you are, your the new leader, and the campus was no one was there. So how, what was the next thing that you did? I'm just curious.
So the big thing I did, I would say, in those early days, was map out how we're going to handle this. And, you know, what's so fascinating is I think of all these hours that I and others spent planning for contingencies that didn't happen. So we have, I'll give you an example. We have Canvas as our online learning platform, right? And I knew the Monday after spring break, everybody was going to be going on to Canvas, not just at Manchester Community College or around the state, but all over the place. Could Canvas, the company, handle all those people? And the front page of the New York Times is, what's going to happen with the internet? Like, it's never had this many users at one time because everybody was remote. So, you know, I'm spending all kinds of time mapping out what we do if Canvas doesn't work. Well, Canvas worked fine. And, you know, so there was different things like that, that it was mapping out every possible contingency. Some happened and we had a plan, and others, like the Canvas situation, just ended up not being a problem. So it was really covering all the bases. The other thing is I was calling people. You know, I was working at home in my basement. I was calling staff and faculty and checking in and seeing how they're doing. The big thing is I was talking to faculty and saying, how are your students doing? And students had, you know, there were some very real challenges. There were students that lost their job. There were students that didn't know how they were going to pay rent, the students that needed food money. Now, because of the CARES funding, that was a federal grant program, we were able to help students. When we had, you know, gift cards or whatever to Market Basket, we were able to help some people with rent. So we were able to play a role that you don't normally think of from a college.
Yeah, and of course, COVID had that huge, you know, domino effect, putting aside, you know, the sort of the loneliness and other issues that came up, but like if someone lost their job, et cetera. So we'll get into that as well as some of the other visionary work that Dr. Bicknell is doing after we return from commercial break. So, listening audience, give us 45 seconds with a Delta Dental commercial, and I'll return with Dr. Brian Bicknell, who's the relatively new president of Manchester Community College, part of the greater community college system of New Hampshire. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio with Dr. Brian Bicknell, who is the president of Manchester Community College System. With me this weekend, Valentine's weekend, February 13th and 14th, and with President's Day coming up, it's hard to believe that January and half of February is gone. Last weekend, with me was Krista Keddy, one of our registered dental hygienists, and has a role here as a oral health and wellness solutions specialist. And she talked a little bit about Children's Dental Health Month. And as Brian and I were talking at the top of the show, one of her points was, you know, fluoridated water, and that really was an official policy of the U.S. Public Health Services by like 1951, and by 1960 was pretty common in the United States, although it varies by community, and it really began, as I mentioned, in the 40s with a Grand Rapids, Michigan, that community around right after World War II, or around 1945. So, interesting program by Krista Keddy, and again, and of course, she is a well-educated RDH, and this is the program this weekend is all about education. So, with Dr. Bicknell, we're talking about his first few days on the job, envisioning, you know, what he was going to have to do to still connect with faculty and with students. And one of the points you were making is kind of the holistic thing, which is the, you know, if a student was a working student and was paying the tuition by working, and then with COVID shutting down a lot of businesses, you know, so when you looked at things holistically, like, it must have been pretty daunting. So how did you kind of sort it out?
You know, a lot of it was keeping everything in front of us and communication and finding out who needs help in what way. But like I said, you know, the CARES funding was big. We were able to help a lot of students with that. And this past fall, the governor, and this isn't a political thing, it's just he approved money that we could use for tuition grants for students. And at Manchester Community College, we awarded over $700,000 in tuition grants to students. So it was students this past fall that were able to take classes with no money. It was grants covered everything. And so that was a huge help. And with the latest round of stimulus package that went through, we have $3 million to give out to help students attend college. We'll be awarding some shortly for the spring semester. But if a student wanted to take a 12-week class, they could come onto our website and go through the process. If they've been affected by COVID, they'll get financial aid. And potentially not have to pay for anything. That's for our 12-week classes, 8-week classes, full term, and that rolls into the summer and next fall. So there's a lot of different things that we can do to really help students and to get the credential that you really need. I mean, there are some folks that can graduate from high school and go into, say, construction or something like that. They don't need a post-secondary, but most jobs do. And if you look at the data, income based on if you get an associate's degree or if you don't is dramatic. That's the 65-25 that you were talking about before the break. That's what that speaks to. And our economy needs it, but it also helps individuals and families. And it's a win-win.
Exactly. And as I, you know, NHGI, the Concord Community College, is right across the street from us. And so I'm more familiar with all their programs, but I do know that Manchester Community College, you have probably 60 or more associate degree and certification programs, automotive technology, healthcare, you know, construction technologies, and you're absolutely right. As an employer, you know, we're looking for those, you know, micro certifications, and so there's so many openings in different fields. I mean, I have a number of CEO colleagues who, you know, have plethora of openings even during COVID, but you need to have that certificate. So it's I'm so happy to see, you know, what you're doing. And as you said, you have a student-centered, you know, mission, and clearly you're empowering your students to go on, either get a job or go on to their to further their education if that's the journey they want to track. And of course, without getting into inside baseball, Brian knows this, but, you know, the community college system have all these articulation agreements with, you know, all the New Hampshire universities and other universities, and so if you can start at a community college system, and if you end there and get a great job, that's great. If you want to move on, I know I always tell this funny story, like when one of my sons went to Bryant College, in the year of the NHCI graduation, I spoke, and one of the graduates was going on to Bryant, and he spoke with, so I had some time with him on the podium, and, you know, 2 years later, I saw him at the Bryant University graduation with the exact same degree as my son, probably $200,000 less. So.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it is fascinating. Like, I have three sons, and I tell them all the time they're going to community college for, you know, their first few years. If they want to get a job after that, great. If they want to go on to get a bachelor's degree, great. But the cost savings is, to me, a no-brainer. I mean, you know, it's the best deal in town.
Absolutely.
You know, the thing you said earlier, we're a comprehensive community college, right? And so we have liberal arts, business, cybersecurity, and all the programs you mentioned. I don't have to repeat them. But and non-credit, micro-credentials, we have all that. Medical assisting, licensed nursing assistant, the whole nine yards. And what's fascinating to me is, so when I first got here, the quick story, I'm at the barbershop, and I said I work at Manchester Community College, and the guy says, oh, the tech. Now, I just started like that week, and I said, no, Manchester Community College. I didn't know what he meant by the tech, because back in the day, it was all technical programs, but it's comprehensive now. Our nursing program's amazing. You major in math and English, get a bachelor's degree or HVAC, electrical technology, and get a job right out of the gate. So it's what pathway do you want to take? Yeah, no, the faculty are phenomenal. There's no question. And I've worked at universities, you know, Research One universities and at MCC, and you look at the faculty, there's no difference. You know, maybe the difference is at a research university. The faculty spend more time doing research, you know, where our faculty are completely devoted to student success. And it's, you know, you look at our class size. If you just walk around, you know, when we're back in person, you walk around and you see 12 students in this class, 15 in this one, 8 in that one. You know, they're small class sizes where you really make connections. And, you know, you're relevant. You know, matter. When I went to college, it was my intro to psych class had 500 students in it.
Right.
And people are sitting, right?
Sitting in the back of the class, coming in late or whatever. Whereas, as you said, a part of your value statement is you authentically value, you know, student and community success and community service and, you know, respectful communication. It's awesome. So if I'm a parent or a student listening to this, the website, of course, very simple, mccnh.edu. mccnh.edu. If I just kind of browse, take me through a travel log of, you know, if I'm interested in either exploring this myself as an adult learner or a student learner or an interested mom or dad helping out their student, like, how would I go through your website and kind of see what I should be doing?
So the first thing, yeah, it's a great question. The first thing, on the website, and click on academic programs. And just click around and have fun. There's descriptions in there. You can see what kind of classes you take. You get a feel for it. You can email somebody to get more information from the admissions team. If you're ever not sure, just email me, and I'll get you the right person for sure. But, yeah, it's just click around and take time and see what it's all about, and then feel free to contact us so we can talk through it further. You can talk to a faculty. Get some more information about the program. If you're not sure what you want to do, we have a program on there called Career Coach. So you can go on our website. You can either go in the search box or click around for a Career Coach is what it's called. You fill it out. It's an inventory, 5 minutes. And what it does is it says, okay, here's what we've learned. Here are your strengths. Here are your interests. Here are the careers that line up with what you're good at and what you enjoy. And then here's the academic pathway to get you there. And here are some of the salaries that are associated with it. So you can click around and say, all right, what's the best fit for me based on what I've learned through this self-assessment?
Awesome. Brian, we're so lucky, Dr. Bicknell, to have you as the leader of the Manchester Community College system. And like you said, it's, you know, you still have Susan as your mentor, and the overall community college system is awesome. I don't think sometimes realize in New Hampshire how blessed we are with how the community college system works, and specifically in this case, the Manchester Community College, and how it fits into really how to become successful in life. So the website is mccnh.edu, and Dr. Bicknell even offered that you can contact him directly. So go on Career Coach first, though, and see. So, Brian, thank you for what you're doing for education in New Hampshire. I love the vision statement, which is that you are a college that empowers students and inspires their success through innovative education. And parents out there, I mean, the reality is economics, you know, come into play. So it's a great school, great opportunity to go on from there or get a great job coming out of there. So thank you, Dr. Bicknell, for joining me this weekend, and continue your great leadership, and congratulations on all the pivoting that you did. And as you said, you adapted and succeeded. So thank you very much, Brian.
Thanks. It was an honor to be here. Have me back anytime.
Will do. Again, the website is mccnh.edu.